This is The Work, brought to you by Capillary Career Center, your premier choice for career and technical education, where each week we will bring you the stories of the folks putting in the work and making an impact in the lives of students in the areas of career and technical education and workforce development. Let's get to work. Well, thank you for joining us today, everybody. Appreciate you making us a part of your day. Hey, it's round two this week. We already put out one episode, but I mentioned in that episode that might have a special guest this week, and we do. If you're new to the show, hey, I'm Robert Farrell, Capillary Career Center in the Regional Office of Career and Technical Education. Appreciate you spending some time with us. If you want to get caught up on previous episodes, hey, head on over to iHeart, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, or anywhere you get your podcast. Just search for The Work. You should be able to find us. If you want to get in touch with the show, email thework@caccschool.org. That's thework@caccschool.org. Love to hear from you. Well, Joan Gonzalez, former electronics and engineering student, came by to talk with the class and take a certification test with us. He's been on the show multiple times. Looking forward to catching up with him on what's going on with him out at Rivian. So we're going to get right to it. Be right back with more on The Work.
Are you ready for a career? Are you ready to follow your passion? Are you ready for hands-on learning? Then CACC is ready for you. CACC provides career and technical education to high school juniors and seniors in Springfield and surrounding communities. CACC, your premier choice for career and technical education.
We are back. As I mentioned before the break, hey, we've got a special guest here. Maybe he's just here to extend his streak for most minutes for a student or former student, but we love having him here. Mr. Joan Gonzalez, how are we doing today, sir?
Good. How about yourself?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, as we talked before, Mr. Melvin has the most teacher minutes on The Work. Yeah. And you, as part of his class last year and the year before, I don't know if you were on it the year before because we didn't have it, but
no, yeah, I was only on last year.
Yeah, it'd been just last year. So you have the most minutes for a student, and today you're going to continue that streak.
Yeah,
so
I got to keep it alive, otherwise someone else is going to take it.
Yes, yeah, so you've been graduated for almost a year now. How's life treating you?
It's going. I'm doing a lot of more work. And I imagine definitely miss high school a little bit. Yeah.
Kind of doing the whole adulting thing.
Yeah, now, right? It's definitely more interesting than just going to school every day and working. But it's going good. Doing good for myself.
Good. Anything new on the personal front other than work? When you were in high school, you used to do a lot of the gaming competitions. Yeah, I mean, is all that type of stuff. I mean, keep up with any of that type of thing, or just kind of let that fall off as you entered adulthood here?
Well, I do wish that I kind of kept doing that a bit more, but now I'm kind of backed it off a little bit more, focusing on my career and everything like that.
Sure. Well, speaking of your career, shortly after graduation, you started at Rivian.
Yep, right? Exactly. I think 10 days.
10 days after graduation.
Yep, exactly 10 days after graduation, I started working at Rivian.
Okay. So, and you've been there ever since. So yep. That's, you're working on what? 10 months ish,
yeah, ish, yeah, like kind of. I think, well, because I started June 13th, June 11th, around that time. Almost 10 months, like 2 months, 2-3 months away from being 1 year there.
Okay. Well, last time Mr. Melvin was on, he kind of told you a little bit of your story about how you've been doing up there, but let's hear it from you. So these last 10 months, how's it going? Where'd you start? Where are we at now type of thing?
Well, that's going to be a long story.
That's all right. We got time. You accrue those minutes.
Yeah,
now,
I got to make sure that nobody else can take it. Well, so started in June, so kind of working as on the assembly line as a team member role, just working on, I was in the battery department on pack line one. So we were building from all the way from the battery cells. So we got battery cells from the mod line, which is battery cell construction, and moving it towards until completed battery pack for like all the R1s. And I did that from June all the way until February, where we would build in pack lines. I usually stayed around like the robots more, because that was just what I was interested
in. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it was also a part of the thing where I was wanting to become part of the maintenance techs over there. My like supervisor and my manager were like, hey, let's just stick him by the robot, see if he learns a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's why I stayed. Most of the time I was there, I was stuck with the robots, like putting on the lids for the pack line. So we would have a big section of robots who would pick up the lids, put them down, and bolts down, screws and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just make sure that the bolts were there. It's very simple. It's production line.
Sure.
Not much to do. But I think it gave me a good opportunity to kind of mess with the robots and learn about them, especially how the HMIs worked and how all the faults that can show up when the robots are in functioning, and how to kind of clear them using basic just pushing buttons on the HMI.
Right. Well, I bet you that'll give you some nice background knowledge when you move into that technician role.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be helpful to know what it's like to actually do it there, right?
Yeah, it definitely helped learning like the basic, just like what where to go when you want to see where a fault is, or where you want to go to see like what specific robot or what a conveyor belt, anything, mm-hmm. is on that HMI. Kind of helps you navigate through it a bit.
So since then, you've got some news here recently that you're moving into that kind of apprenticeship program, right? Going to be in that technician apprenticeship program. So tell us what that's all about. And we talked to it a little bit about from Mr. Melvin's perspective, but tell us what you're going to be doing here soon. Are you fully in it now, or have you starting soon? Right,
I'm fully in it. Okay. So earlier, like I said, I was production for since June to like around mid February. So like after that, I think I started February 12th on as a maintenance technician apprentice. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of it was very almost like shell shocked almost as I felt.
Mm-hmm.
I felt shell, because when you're learning all the stuff here at CECC about like, motors, cylinders, all electrical components, you get the very simple version of it. But once you go into like the actual field,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot more intense, you could say.
I bet it is.
Like we're working on like this motors that are the size of almost like a mini go-kart.
Mm-hmm.
And these motors are huge, and you feel, and because there's so many of them, because of how big the factory is, it's a lot more intense than you would imagine.
Yeah, we don't have them that big here.
Yeah, no. We have like the little like motors you can hold in your hands and stuff like that. So it's a lot more like the fundamentals are still the same.
Right.
But the scale of how big these things are is insane, especially when you see part of like the different type of machinery they have in Rivian, because they have a system that is almost as big as it's like a soccer field almost, about like for these cars, and it's insane. But yeah, so I started February 12th in the paint department for maintenance tech. And first 2 weeks, I was set on an 8-hour, 5 days a week schedule,
mm-hmm.
which was just an introduction to learn about what the paint shop is, how it functions, like learning about like where everything is in that paint shop. And then after those 2 weeks, I was sent to night shift, 12-hour shifts. So I'm working on ABCD schedule, which is 1 week I'm working three days, another week I'm working 4 days.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I'm kind of been doing recently. And it's going pretty good. Because of the training I received here, I was, instead of doing the 3-year apprenticeship program, which they usually do for the new apprentices, so they can go to school for 2 years and then focus on those hands-on skills that last year.
Mm-hmm.
But because of all the education I received here and the training and all that stuff, I was able to skip those 2 years and go to the 1 year hands-on training.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah, it is. And like the way they're kind of testing me to make sure like I have the knowledge, I'm not just lying on my resume, is to give me, they gave me this workbook, which has all the information that they expect me to know and master by the time I'm done with my apprenticeship, which is your OSHA safety, your hands and power tools, your basic hydraulics and pneumatics, your electrical. Good majority of it's electrical. About we had there's like 10 pages, and like 5 or 6 of those are electrical.
I was gonna say, I bet it is probably pretty heavy electrical where you're at right now.
Yeah,
right?
So it's like it's a good. So I think I pride myself in a little bit knowing more electrical than hydraulics. So like that part comes pretty easy to me. And then we also have to know about PLC and like logic and all that stuff, as well as basic welding, which welding. Definitely a whole new experience trying to learn that. Right now, I've learned it, kind of getting close to mastering MIG welding, but I also need to learn like stick and TIG and all that stuff to get all that, because they want their mains techs to be as diverse as possible, kind of not just be an electrician, not just be a mechanic, not just be a welder, but to like trying to get like a bit of all of it, so that way, in case anything happens, you'll be know how to fix it and you can work on it. Or if the slightest thing you don't know, you got the guy next to you who should also know.
Right. Yeah. And that's something you weren't able to do in our program. We didn't have welding really as part of the electronics and engineering program. We've looked at maybe integrating a couple little tidbits, because there's a lot of places out there that are exactly like you just said, and they want them to be diverse in their skill set, and knowing how to do just some basic welding would be beneficial to you guys.
Yeah, I think that's what Mr. Melvin's trying to do. I think he's like, when I've been here today, he's like trying to get to me to talk. I'm get in contact with like the head trainers over there, trying to like get them to talk to him about like how they want their technicians to be made, because he wants to give the students of CACC who take his class the best opportunity to go like straight into the field as fast as possible.
Well, what you just said a second ago, if that relationship is built to where our students, if they know that our students have that skill set and are able to bypass some of that apprenticeship time, that's huge for them and for us, because that's good for our students. So that's impactful for our students, and that's good for them because they have people that are coming in ready to roll, and you know, like you, I'm sure they'd probably like to have about 15 of you.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think when I first started, everyone was kind of shocked about how young I was, being like 18, basically almost. Usually for the apprenticeship, some people like worked at Rivian for like a year before they got into the apprenticeship.
Right.
And I'm coming straight. As soon as I was able to get the apprenticeship, I got in. And being 18, I'm the youngest person there. I think the closest person is 24 to my age.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Congrats to you.
Yeah.
Being the young guy in there. There you go. So you said earlier that you're spending some time in the paint line area. So as part of your apprenticeship, do they just, you're going to spend like a month there and then a month in another area, a month in another area? How does that work?
So usually for the apprentices, they have them do 6 months. 6 months period in different shops, but that's usually for like the 3-year program. So you spend like 6 months. There's about five, six departments. You got stamping, body, paint, battery, drive unit, and GA. So there's six. So usually in those three years, you're doing 6 months integrants, you get into most of the shops. So it's a good diversity experience. So that way, if they need you or need to move you any place, you kind of know the system. But with my thing, because I'm doing the 1 year, the way the lead trainer explained to me, like, we'll still maybe consider moving you after 6 months, but it's also like, if paint department decides they want to keep me there, they're going to keep me there.
Sure.
It's kind of like, if they hate me, well, they're going to kick you out. If they like me, well, I guess they're going to keep me.
I have a feeling they're going to want to keep you, Jim.
Probably. I don't know. I'm doing pretty good. Even as an apprentice, I'm kind of teaching some of the other mains techs who've been there for a couple of years, a couple of things too.
Okay. So what are some of the biggest things you learned in electronics and engineering that are helping you out in your role right now?
Definitely, I think the understanding logic has probably been the main thing. Like at Rivian, there's a separate department for logic. They call them the control guys, basically, where they have their own laptop and everything like that. They can go into and check the logic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the main stakes don't technically have to know that, but knowing logic is kind of helping me kind of communicate with these controls guys and trying to figure out the issue faster. Cause you can see if there's For example, like a grounding fault happens.
Mm-hmm.
It could either be like the actual grounded wire that's messed up, or it could be something in the logic that's messed up, and you would need to communicate and talk to your controls guys to see if what is what. And knowing logic is helping with that process and be able to talk to them with that.
You ever hear Mr. Melvin in the back of your head when you're working on stuff like that?
Yeah. Especially stuff when I mess up on stuff.
So right.
It's like, you should have known what that was.
That's funny. So what about anything you wish you would have learned in electronics and engineering in your role right now?
I think like we learned a lot about electrical, pneumatics, and hydraulics. But I think one thing I wish I learned a little bit more about more is mechanical side.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a little bit about like belts and all that stuff too. But I think knowing there's when I went there to Rivian and became the apprentice, there was definitely a knowledge gap for my mechanical side of things.
Sure.
More than my electrical. So I think being able to focus more on that would like help me try to like even it out. But right now I think I'm trying to like self-teach myself how to like that mechanical side, as well as getting some help from my like some of the fellow maintenance techs who are like helping me learn mm-hmm. about like the line, how every system works.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you know, when I'm sure you're planning on going to be there a long time and everything. Yeah. What are some things you could tell to our, you know, current students that may want to go to Rivian? Hey, a little piece of advice for them specifically if they want to go to Rivian.
Well, if you're deciding to go to Rivian, especially if you're new electronics and engineering, make sure you get those SOCA certifications.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about those, because yeah. I just posted on our Facebook and Instagram page here just a little bit ago. You saw Joan's smiling face on
uh-huh,
there
yeah.
with his SOCA certification. Talk to us a little bit more about those. We talked a lot with Mr. Mm-hmm. Melvin about these, so we kind of, I think the audience probably knows what they are, but how important are they to you and to your, you know, current role?
I think they're extremely important. It becomes being able to go into Rivian and have being this like electrical system specialist or mechanical system specialist, control system specialist, any type, like being able to have that certification to kind of prove that you know what you're doing is going to help you a lot, especially getting into it and be able to understand all of that mm-hmm. can help transfer that knowledge a little bit better to the real world application. Because without the certifications, yes, you know the knowledge and the basic understanding of it all and how the systems work together. But like getting that certification takes it a step further, where you learn more about each system, how to troubleshoot it, how to be good like maintaining it and doing all the stuff you need to do as a maintenance tech, mm-hmm. which is very important for like my job. Like for example, and also another thing with it is having that certification will increase your pay output.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Rivian has a scale between like an apprentice and like a manager or something that's is dependent on what your certifications or your knowledge or anything about how the systems work, how you can troubleshoot them, how you can maintain them, and that can determine your pay at Rivian.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it validates your knowledge and skill set. They can say, hey, yeah, you definitely have those skills, rather than, like you said earlier, just saying having a good resume or something.
Yeah.
It shows that, hey, I definitely have these skills.
Yeah, and like it also helps with, like, yes, there's more responsibility coming with like having those certifications, but once you have the certifications, you can pretty confidently be able to work on those machines, and it will definitely help you, since certifications more focus on like real world application more than just training.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty cool. We're able to offer these SOCA certifications to our former students as well. Yeah. So that's a big benefit for them to be able to come back here and do that. Do you have any other ones in mind that you're going to come back for in the near future? Are we gonna see you more often around here?
Definitely. I'm going to try to milk this cow as much as possible. Hey,
get out here and get them done.
Yeah. So I'm working on my electrical system specialist first, which I just tested for my electrical systems 1 and passed it first try.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's
congrats
good.
On that.
Yeah,
that's the one on the Facebook page we just saw.
That's that one. And I want to try it. So I'm going to try to get the 5 micro credentials for that one, which is electrical systems 1, Motor controls systems one, motor control troubleshooting one, I think. And then there's another one, which is, I think, electrical systems installation, which will help a lot, actually, a good amount, because that will help me learn about more like the panel and HMI systems. And that will, and especially since at work, we deal with a lot with about like wiring and stuff. Like one of the things I do mostly every day at work is we wire motors so that way they can more efficiently work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then after that, I want to try to get my mechanical system specialist to learn more about, kind of bridge that gap I have with my mechanical side of knowledge. And then if I have time to do it, I would definitely want to try to get my control systems and automated systems specialists.
Awesome. We had Travis and Hunter on not too long ago too. They earned those SOCA certifications. Pretty cool that they're able to get those before they before they even graduate, right?
Yeah, that's definitely cool. I was talking to Hunter a little bit, and he's the one that's more interested in going to Rivian.
Yeah, he's kind of going to follow in your footsteps, hopefully. Yeah. I think it was his plan is what he was saying he's going
to
do.
Yeah, and he was definitely excited to talk to me this morning about all the stuff that happens. And he asked like a lot of good questions about like, you know, what I do most of the time doing my job, which is usually just fault resets. We do stuff on usually just machines just fault out, which can be fixed with just using the HMI to kind of move things around or just reset things. That's like the main thing we do. And then every now and then something big happens and we gotta go and spend a couple hours trying to fix it.
Right. So did you relocate up there yet? Are you still living around here?
Right now, so I was planning on moving out there like pretty soon, but once the opportunity arose for getting those certifications, I was like, okay, how about I put a pause on that, spend some more time saving up that money, and then I'll get those certifications and then
head on out. Up.
Yeah.
Good call. So, well, Joan, appreciate you talking to the class today, paving the way to Rivian for future students here. You know, I know we've got some other students up there that are in the welding area, but you're really the first one out there that's toward the maintenance tech role, and I think a lot of electronics and engineering students moving forward are gonna try to follow in your footsteps. So thanks for clearing the path for them.
I'm glad I was able to do it for someone, able to help future students do.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna turn that into CACC North here in a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Well, anything else you want to talk about, Joan?
Nothing really that I can think of right now. But yeah, so I'm doing good, getting paid a lot of money to do even the basic stuff, to learning how to do all this.
I love it. We've been talking about it for a few years, about all the opportunities that are available with this skill set. And Joan is a living embodiment of that success and that opportunity. So congrats on all your success.
Well, thank you very much. All thanks to CACC.
Yeah, a little Elvis there or something. Yep. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yep.
There you go.
All right, Joan. Well, you have a good one. Appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you. You too.
Be right back with more on The Work.
Are you ready for a career? Are you ready to follow your passion? Are you ready for hands-on learning? Then CACC is ready for you. CACC provides career and technical education to high school juniors and seniors in Springfield and surrounding communities. CACC, your premier choice for career and technical education.
Well, thank you for joining us today, everybody. Appreciate you making us a part of your day. Want to get caught up on previous episodes? Hey, head on over to Apple, iHeart, Spotify, Buzzsprout, or anywhere you get your podcast. Just search for The Work. You'll be able to find us. If you want to get in touch with the show, email thework@caccschool.org. That's thework@caccschool.org. Love to hear from you. Joan, keep up the great work. Proud of you. Make sure you're coming back. Get those SOCA certifications done, and let's keep up this streak of most minutes on The Work. How about that? Hey, I always mention this. The last couple of months, we are still taking applications for the 24-25 school year out here at CACC. So if you are still interested, make sure you're talking with that assistant principal or counselor at your high school. Well, we're going to be back at it next week, but in the meantime, we're going to keep putting in that work. That's all I got for today. We'll see you next time on The Work.